Good morning, Symphony. Today's chapter is Galatians 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. As you've been seeing throughout the book of Galatians, Paul has been clear in his grief how the Galatians have been throwing away the gospel of grace by living in works by the law, like through circumcision. Paul once again declares, "Stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Verse 6, he says that for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. There are three things that stood out to me from this chapter. One, in verses 7 to 12, he asks, "Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you." He even says, "I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves." Now, that is really strong language, but Paul is getting to the point that this leaven, which can come in the form of preaching or the false gospel, complaining, grumbling, etc., can be contagious. Verse 9, he says, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." The sad thing is that Paul recognizes in verse 7, "You were running well, yet they were persuaded to forego grace." Let's take inventory today. Are there any influences in your life that may be persuading you to live other than through grace and faith? Perhaps it's a non-believing family member or friend who causes doubt in your relationship with God. Or maybe it's from someone who believes in God, but their life is marked with works. Let us ask for the spirit of discernment and stand firm in our faith and push to believe in the truth of the gospel of grace. Number 2, verses 13 to 15. Paul says that we were called to freedom, but to not use our freedom to serve the flesh, but to serve one another through love. As the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Perhaps Paul is getting at this. You are so focused on upholding the law that you are foregoing loving those around you, your own brothers and sisters. He warns, if you bite and devour one another, Watch out that you are not consumed by one another. So, inventory break again. How are you doing with this one commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Even in good intentions and in doing good things for God, like serving, we can get so caught up in the actual task at hand that we forgo loving those around us at the cost of efficiency or success. Let us examine our hearts today and commit this day to taking one step towards loving our neighbors above ourselves. Perhaps it's through baking cookies for that one friend who's been having a hard week, or sending an encouraging text to your small group leader, or praying and interceding for the welfare of the church and our congregants. Lord, lead us to love one another the way that you have loved us. And lastly, number 3, verses 16 to the end of the chapter, they talk about walking in the Spirit. And this is a well-known passage about the fruits of the Spirit. But it's clear in Paul's writing that you cannot walk by both the Spirit and by the flesh, for the desires of the Spirit and flesh oppose each other. Things are either of God or not of God. There's no in between. And the way that we know whether we are walking in the Spirit or by the flesh is by the fruit, or rather lack of. Either immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, etc. Or are you exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I've read this passage so many times before, but verse 24 really stood out to me today. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Again, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This means that we must die to our flesh, to crucify the fleshly passions and desires. But this doesn't come just out of straight grit or determination, but it comes by living and walking by the Spirit, walking in step with Him. So let us invite the Spirit to lead us, and may we follow in obedience by walking in Him today. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this rich word that is mixed with necessary rebuke and warnings that we must heed and be careful of, but also with immense encouragement and hope that because of you, Jesus, we can overcome the flesh and live truly through the Spirit, living out the gospel of grace that you brought for us on the cross. We thank you for your cross, Jesus. We thank you that because of you, we have freedom. And I pray that we would use that freedom to love one another, and that we would use it, Lord, to serve one another and to lay down our lives for one another. So we thank you, God. May you be glorified, and we commit this day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.